Welcome to the Tales of Adventure podcast. Tales of Adventure is an improvised Dungeons & Dragons show performed live in front of an audience at the Bristol Improv Theatre. We follow the amusing and often absurd adventures of Bagsy Badley, Trim Toscobble, the Reverend Hatchet, and Jeffrey Banjo, as they haphazardly muddle their way through a world full of magic, mystery, and mischief. Out with the mold, in with the zoo. Part 2.
Welcome, travelers, to part 2 of episode 3 of season 9 of Tales of Adventure. This is the final part of Out with the Mold, In with the Zoo. Our protagonists, gathered round the mold-covered body of Reverend Hatchet, have held an impromptu memorial service surrounded by vines that have turned out to be alive and are slowly crawling up their legs and trying to strangle them. We're going straight into a fight, so it's initiative time. First up is Jeffrey Banjo.
Sup?
Your legs are wrapped around with these horrible vines, and they squeeze your legs. Possibly the first time your legs have ever been squeezed.
That's
you take
fine.
2 hit points of damage.
Oh, okay.
It's not very much. There's also, apparently, a 10% chance of strangulation per round, which just kills you. First edition. Not even once, I think, would be the result of this. On a result of 1, you've been strangled. You have not been strangled.
10% chance.
Wow, yeah, that suddenly got way more tense. Okay, cool. It's serious time.
What you gonna do?
I'm gonna look around and be like, okay.
First of all, Mouthford's not there.
I feel that's on brand at the moment, so.
There is a demented cackling echoing off the walls of this room.
So Trim and Bagsy, are they close to me?
We are all standing around Reverend Hatchet's body, like maybe within 10 feet.
Okay. So can I get to Trim to be able to touch her?
You could lean forwards really far and stretch out your arm.
Magey.
Okay, so
You could just about touch fingertips.
So that's what I'm going to do because I think like Bagsy's going to get out of this a lot easier because she's really strong.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to tell Trim to hold on, uh-huh, and then I'm going to cast Dimension Door out of the vines.
So Dimension Door has a range of 500 feet?
Yeah, but anywhere within that though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have to go 500 feet.
So where are you going?
Like outside of the vines.
Just outside the vines? Like the other half of the room is not covered in vines. You're just going to go there?
Yeah, we'll go into the other half of the room. How far away are we from Bagsy then?
About 20 foot.
Oh yeah, cool. Yeah, let's just do that. Because I don't want to be killed. And I can only take one other person as well, so...
With a faint pop and a crack, Trim and Jeffrey Banjo vanish from inside the vines and reappear just outside the vines.
Oh, that's great.
Trim, you're up next. You're now safe. There's no chance of you being strangled to death.
Great. Well, I'm going to just stab at Midette now. I'm just going to just be pleased.
To clarify, Bagsy is still in the middle of the vines. You're not gonna.
Well, I'm just really glad to be alive. But I don't know what I can do for it. I can throw a rope. I'm gonna throw my 50-foot rope over to Bagsy and be like, rope to Bagsy, and you'd be like, do you
yes,
want to take this?
Because what I want is more things that could potentially wrap around me
and strangle.
Okay, so you throw the end of. Sorry, when you say you throw the rope, do you mean you throw the whole rope or just one end?
No.
Just one end.
Lasso.
Right, so you're throw it. You lasso Bagsy.
I want to throw this to Bagsy that you can hold on and maybe climb through.
Okay, you throw one end of the rope to Bagsy. No problem. Mouthford, you're up next. You're invisible. You're hovering above these vines. Below you is the dead body of Reverend Hatchet, which is still wobbling and wibbling. And Bagsy is the only person entangled in these vines.
Actually,
I have a question first. Yes. Did you cast the second level spell Invisibility or the fourth level spell Greater Invisibility?
Important.
Yeah, John, which did you cast?
The octopus?
There is.
Greater Invisibility.
Greater Invisibility, okay, cool. What do you do?
I pick up Marcus Aurelius by the tail, by the other end, not his face end, but the other end.
Marcus Aurelius, being a worm, is a bit too slippery for the tentacles for the vines to get a proper grip on it. You can pull him out. I mean, okay, not to stir the pot or anything, but like Bagsy's like trapped in place right now. This would be a perfect opportunity. If you wanted to take revenge for any pony killing.
I didn't do anything with a pony killing. I was also hit by the beams.
That's very true.
Yeah, but he seems to blame you for some reason.
No, I don't blame you. I just don't appreciate the slack I'm getting for his death. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What is Wall of Fire?
So Wall of Fire creates a wall made of fire.
So can I sort of turn the wall as if it's like a circle, or is it just like...
Yeah, you can turn the wall as though it's a circle. Not a lot of people know that, but that's one of the things you can do.
It's, guys, if you've never done D&D before, go for
interesting factoids. Wall of fire can be on a circle. You can. A wall of fire appears on a solid surface within range. You can make the wall up to 60 foot long, 20 foot high, and 1 foot thick, or a ringed wall up to 20 feet in diameter, 20 feet high, and 1 foot thick.
I'm. Okay, this is really tough. I'm gonna float. Mm-hmm. I think Marcus Aurelius would be fine. I think he'd be fine.
Probably.
So I'm going to float to where the safe area is.
You can't do that because levitation only goes up and down.
Oh, it only goes up and down. In that case, I will use a wall of fire to surround Bagsy and the Reverend.
Oh.
Not to kill them. Yeah. My idea is not to attack them.
There's a safe side of a wall of fire and a dangerous side. You want them to be on the safe side.
I want them to be in the middle, which is the safe side, and then the outside is going to be, like, fiery.
So you would be on the outside. Yeah, but the room's only 20 foot high.
Oh.
So is the wall of fire. Do you want to... You could make yourself in the middle of it as well. You're also near the Reverend. That's totally plausible.
I thought
you
said it was only up and down.
Yeah, just do that. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll be in the safe side of the wall of fire and in the middle, and then on the outside will be like fire and blaze.
Cool. That's your last fourth level spell slot. But a wall of fire roars into existence in a ring around you, and everyone within 10 feet of the circle on the bad side takes 5d8 fire damage. I mean, I probably don't even need to roll for this. These vines are probably very, very, very dead. Yeah, they're very, very, very dead. That is lots of damage. That's 33 damage to every one of the vines. Each of the vines had 18 hit points. They're all dead.
Yeah!
You roast the vines to cinders, exposing the fact that part of them were covering an archway in the wall.
What?
Bagsy, it's your turn as the vines around you go limp. The sort of like a flailing as... sort of. It's hard to tell if it's like the vines screaming or if it's like the moisture in them being forced out as steam. It's like boiling a lobster. Is the lobster screaming or is it the... But it's a plant.
Reverend Hatchet would know.
Reverend Hatchet would know, but it's Bagsy's turn. Bagsy, technically the fight is over.
Yes.
But... somewhere within 10 feet of you is an invisible wizard. Would you like to exit initiative, or
Bear in mind, I saved your ass.
I mean, I was going to cast Misty Step. I would have been fine, but thanks.
Arrogant. So you're not gonna try and hurt the invisible wizard.
No.
I look at the destruction that I've done, and I go, huh.
Are you just realizing that you're a powerful wizard?
No. I didn't realize that that it came out that way. I'm just sort of. It's like I've never done that skill before, and I'm like, huh.
Okay. So, is there still a wall of fire around
you? There is still a wall of fire around you, and indeed, the Reverend Hatchet's corpse is still wiggling strangely. Chest area sort of bulges outwards and then sits back.
Well, I probably should. So if I do use Misty Step, can I take anything with me?
That's a good question. Dimension Door does. I don't know if Misty Step does.
I don't think it does. But I mean, it takes my bag, so I can take Reverend Hatchet's body.
No, Misty Step, you can't take anything with you.
At all?
No. Huh.
Not even my bag.
You can take your stuff.
Well, okay, Reverend Hatchet.
No, Reverend Hatchet is on the floor over there, and he's a whole person.
All right.
Who has his own bag, although most of his stuff has probably been eaten by mold.
I'll cast Misty Step. I don't want to be on fire.
No, you're on the safe side of the Ring of Fire.
Okay, but like, how long is this Ring of Fire gonna go
on? I don't know. Ask Mouthford.
Mouthford.
I'm still sort of there going,
Mouthford.
You're invisible. Mouthford. You're still invisible.
Mouthford.
What? Hello.
How long are we going to be enclosed by fire?
I'm sure that you'd all be dead. What? What was the question?
The question, how long are we going to be enclosed by fire?
Well, here's one question I have. I'm having a look at this body that keeps fumbling about of your Reverend Hatchet, and I don't like the look of it at all. Maybe I'm worried that thing is going to turn into something else that might attack us. So I say I'm only going to turn off the fire until we burn that
He's
thing.
He's our friend! We're not going to burn him! Who are you to say that? That's our friend! No!
I've known you guys for a couple of hours.
Trim shouts through the wall of fire.
I don't care too much.
That's obvious that you don't care that much, but we do. We're not burning our friend. We like him.
Okay.
He's like a dad to poor Jeffrey.
It's a dead body.
It's a friendly dead body.
Some people think cremation is a nice way to deal with a funeral.
But not if it's like
it's not like he's being super insensitive. That's like one of the traditional options.
No, but it's in the way that he's doing it. It's like, burn it, gross, rather than like, yay, let's burn it.
I get the sense.
It's almost like he's covered in deadly mold or something.
Yes. If there's anything I've learned on these travels is that you don't eat something and he's ate things twice.
We don't need any more shit given to Reverend Hatchet. He know he fucked up. He does.
Well, technically he doesn't because he's dead.
I feel like there was a moment before he died where he was like, whoop.
Whoopsie.
Oh.
Classic Reverend.
I will turn off the fire. If
that wasn't the question. The question was how long does it last?
Like,
I think it's like 10 minutes.
Is it up to him though?
Like, yeah, it's up to him.
Okay, well, so he can
it's up to him.
He can turn it off.
I feel this is a leading suggestion. It is up to him. However, if you punch him, there's a chance it will end soon.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you guys, okay? I've been adventuring with you for the last couple of hours, and this has brought nothing but turmoil on me. Maximus, my Shetland pony, died, and it was only because you guys were here. All of my years of adventuring has
never died before.
He never died before. And my crew, I've had to attack them, and they've gone. My Shetland pony
is
dead.
So it is my go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to punch him, but I'm going to twist his nipples really hard.
Okay, so I should say that he is still invisible.
Okay.
He cast Wall of the Fire.
Yeah. He cast Greater Invisibility, so he is. Yeah. Oh, fuck, you're right, he's visible. Twist those nipples.
Ah!
What would have invisibility done?
It would have made it so that it would have been like a 50-50 chance if she'd grabbed your nipples.
Okay, cool. All
right. Or another body part.
Damn it.
Belly button.
Okay.
You pass the concentration check. The wall of fire stays there. Just. But you've got a very angry half-orc holding your nipples, and it's not nice. The Reverend Hatchet's body starts to swell. It's getting larger and larger now, like it's inflating like a sock. Jeffrey Banjo, there's a cylinder of scorchy, burning fire surrounded by the ashes of 8 stranglevine plants. And somewhere inside, there is a blazing row and the sound of someone squealing as their nipples are twisted. It sounds like this. What are you doing?
What else is in the room? What can I see?
You can see the cylinder that you're in, and just past the wall of fire, you can see out through an archway that was previously covered by the strangly vines, and it looks like you can see a beautiful valley covered in green foliage, and in the middle there's a lake, and in the middle of the lake there's an island which looks as though it's got a small stone hut built on it.
I wish I could see that rather than just wall-to-wall fire.
Shut it!
What you doing?
Okay, alright.
Oh my god.
I'm going to wander closer to that archway.
Well, to get closer to the archway, you have to come within 10 feet of the fire.
Oh, can I not, like, scooch around the outside?
Not really, no. Because the fire's about 15 feet in diameter and has a 10-foot radius of damage outside of that. So it does fill the whole of that side of the room.
Cool. Going to chill, then.
Just going to chill.
I'm going to inspire Trim, because I never do that.
Aww. Why don't you ask him to put the fire out?
How do you inspire Trim? What is it that you do?
Just do a little dance.
Can we see that? Can we see it?
Little tap.
No, I don't feel it's fair to make Jeffrey do something that the podcast listeners won't be able to enjoy.
Okay.
We have maybe an illustration of what Graham thinks of the dance.
Yeah, we'll do a gif.
Trim, it's your turn. You feel inspired by Jeffrey's dance.
I feel inspired. I also want to go through this lovely archway, and so I'm gonna be like, "Oi, you douche!" I'm gonna be like,
strong words.
Yeah, I've got bardic inspiration. Now I've got words. I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna.
I didn't realize I could talk before.
This has just been noises. I'm gonna be like, "Oi!" I might even oh, it's humanoid. I might just I'm going to just throw a handful of ball bearings up at thingy and just be like, there's plenty more where that came from, buddy!
So, because he's inside the ring of fire, you can't actually see him. Well, no, because it wouldn't melt like ball bearings.
Okay.
But you can't see where he is, so you're just taking a guess.
Yeah,
you struck some ball bearings, okay.
I can see where, I'm going, there's plenty more where that came from, come on!
There's no pick wall of fire.
We want to move through the narrative!
I mean, narrative is a generous term.
Got 30 more minutes of this.
Mouthfoot, a handful of hot ball bearings hit you in the face.
Ah!
Your nipples continue to be twisted.
Oh!
And Reverend Hatchet's body continues to warp and distort under some strange internal pressure.
He killed Maximus! It's the only way! We have to kill him! We have to destroy his body or whatever the thing is going to come out of it!
If we go through the arch, it won't be a problem!
Yeah, let's just put the fire out!
Put the fire out!
Fire out! Fire out! Fire out!
Is it my go?
Yeah.
Okay, I will... okay, alright. I turn the fire out.
The fire dissipates with a faint.
Yay. Okay.
And you're left just in a room full of ashes and it's quite hot.
I do let go of his nipples.
Okay.
Good.
Can I do something else?
Yeah, sure.
Alright, can I take out my laser beam?
Yes.
And can I point it at the dead Reverend Hatchet?
You certainly can.
Yeah.
His corpse continues to wobble and inflate until finally with a horrendous tearing bursting sound, A veggie pygmy emerges from the cocoon that was once Reverend Hatchet. It pulls itself messily out of his corpse. Little bits of russet mold dropping from its body and fluids dripping from its shoulders and its face.
Hey-o!
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 Can I shoot it?
You sure can!
Why?
You're adorable little fella. Who are you?
What do you mean, who am I? What? Oh, that's me. And I have a bit of a moment as I look down at my own body, having clawed my way out of my own chest.
It's really disturbing. However, what's even more disturbing is that you need to make an immediate dexterity save, which you fail, as a laser beam cuts across your body.
Ah!
And you take
my
11 points of damage and
die.
No, you don't die. You don't. You don't lose a limb.
This is the worst guess you've ever had.
It just scores a line of fire across your chest. It's your turn, Veggie Pygmy Hatchet. You still have all of your druid powers and abilities. You've lost most of your equipment, although you're actually wearing Fiance's ring.
Yeah.
Oh.
You are not entirely sure if you have the same statistics anymore. It's hard to tell because Veggie Pygmy is not a traditional playable race. And I haven't made one up yet, so.
I feel, if anything, leafier and greener than I did before.
Also, there's a little hovering gnome that just shot you with a laser gun.
What the shit is going on? I mean, who is it? Is this Mount Higglestain? Was that why are you shooting me?
Okay, first of all, I didn't know it was going to be you, Reverend Hatchet, that was going to come out of that bubbling hellhole.
That bubbling hellhole is my body, I will have you know.
I thought it was going to be a creature of distress and hatred and evil that was going to attack you, so I tried to kill you, and quite honestly, I've been getting quite angry. I've been getting quite angry with you adventurers these last couple of hours, okay? I'm stressed out! Marcus Aurelius is not the same as Maximus.
Oh, one of us has died.
Yes, it's Maximus that died. No one gives a shit. No.
Sorry about your horse. Sorry that it died. Hey. I could make a little silent image of the horse for you to say goodbye to it metaphorically, if you like. I'm going to cast silent image, and it's like a little version of what I imagine his pony looked like, because I...
It looks nothing like the pony at all.
Hang on. No, give Trim a chance. It's very No, it doesn't look much like that.
But it's a try, and I'm like, hey, if you need to say any final words to your pony... You can do this now, and we won't look. Or we'll just. Hey, I've got loads of ball bearings to count. I'll just do that.
Trim, I honestly thought I was going to go out in a.
Sorry to interrupt this touching moment. It's a completely unimportant question. Whereabouts do you create the image of the pony?
Just sort of like roughly in front of Malford, just like. Because I'm standing nearish the archway.
Yeah.
The fire is gone.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to do it within 60 feet, so I can kind of cast it towards him.
Yeah. So kind of near the archway.
Nearish the archway.
Okay, no, that's cool. That's good.
To the left. How about off to the left of the archway?
It's too late. She's no. Trim has decided.
I see this, and I sort of cry a little tear, and I go,
I honestly thought I was going to go out in a ball of glory, and maybe we were going to have like a fight, and I don't know, we'd fight to, I don't know, like a glory death, but that's probably the nicest thing anybody's done. I'm sorry, Reverend. I'm sorry, Bagsy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry.
You, Trim. Yeah.
and that's everyone.
Cool. Actually, do you know what? I'll do right here. Yeah, you're all right,
Jeffrey. Whilst all this emotional conversation that you're not involved in is going on, glancing past everyone through the archway, you can see there's something coming out of the lake. Looks quite big.
Does it look big and friendly?
It doesn't really. It looks like three eye stalks on quite a long stalky thing. They seem to be fixed on the image of Maximus the Pony that was created by Trim. Regarding it quite... If you could ascribe an expression to three eyes on a stalk, you'd say maybe hungrily.
Okay.
Back to the emotional conversation. Carry on, guys.
In the meantime, I've been kind of staring down, like staring at my new body, my new kind of moldy green hands, which seem to be made of like fungus and bits of, I don't know, leaf material, and back down to my old body, and I'm getting a bit weirded out, and then I kind of...
One thing that might strike you at this point is that you're a lot shorter now.
I realise I'm a lot closer to my body than I thought I should be. And I'm like 4 feet tall. Oh. I kind of nod to myself and I'm, yes, he's right. And so I kneel down and I start where kind of the rib cage and everything has been, but where I burst out of it, I start kind of like ripping out the rest of the left side of the rib cage. And ripping out.
And then, as you turn towards your body, you also catch sight of this disturbance in the lake about maybe 100 feet away. You can see there's something rising up out of it, like almost like a huge frog. Except it keeps on rising up out. And you can see that it's got four big tentacles and a really big toothy mouth. Back to the emotional conversation.
New Reverend.
It's
a frog.
And I I bend her with a kind of a nod to Jeffrey, like, yeah, it is.
Is this your new voice?
Maybe it's settling. And I bend down and I kind of pick up my old head and kind of like from the jaw kind of upwards, just kind of rip the top of the skull right off, and then kind of get in like under the top lip, like between the top lip and the just kind of peel the top of the flesh off, just like. So I've got the top of my old skull and kind of just settle it on like a new...
You're going to wear it like a hood?
Like a helmet.
Like Hercules.
And I kind of, you know, kind of grip my eyes a bit. Yeah, it is a big frog.
What's all this talk of a big frog?
You too, look in the direction of the lake and you can see... There's essentially a big frog the size of an elephant with four tentacles, a fang-filled maw, and three eyes on top of its head. It's just clawing its way up onto the banks of the lake, and it's just stomping its way towards you. Or more specifically, stomping its way towards the image of Maximus the Pony.
Okay. It looks like it's going after... Alright, yeah, I got a new voice as well. Looks... Looks like it's going after Maximus the Pony.
Cool.
Can I
The air fills with thunderous footsteps as it begins to jog and now to just run in the direction of you all.
I cast Bless. I'm going to...
You can bless up to three people.
I'm going
to
bless Trim, Reverend and Jeffrey. I'm also going to shout to guys to the sides of the room.
Move the silent image.
Yeah. That's what we're gonna do next.
Just so that we're not in the path
I don't know if these guys will move, but I'm going to move out of the way of the
path. Yeah, I'm going to move.
Yeah.
I'm going to summon up a wall of stone in front of it.
Well, all right.
Do you guys feel stronger, like you've been at the gym? I
feel shorter.
I feel a strong energy of friendship.
I feel toned. I feel toned. Like my muscles are more supple, but not necessarily stronger. Jim, I haven't noticed your eyeshadow before. It's really lovely. Yeah, I'm going
a
for
wall
like the Gothic
of
look.
Rough stone springs up, covering the archway and the image of Maximus the Pony from the view of the gigantic Froghemoth.
What?
That's what it's called. It's a Froghemoth.
Froghemoth.
A Froghemoth. Oh,
like a froggy mouth, but Froghemoth.
No, like a behemoth, mouth, yeah. Except instead of bee, frog. Which implies that a behemoth is a really big bee.
Or a bee's
mouth. Which I
mouth.
Really like the idea of. But it covers it from view, and then after a second, there's a thunderous crash. The room shakes, and some small pebbles fall down from the wall of stone. But because you've not made it covering a big area, it's actually got 300 hit points. So it will take the Froghemoth approximately 15 rounds to get through it.
Oh. Hey, let's cool. leave this room. Well. Hey, do you reckon there's an alien zoo anywhere around? I'd
yeah.
love to visit an alien zoo.
I suspect in the next 15 minutes we'll find some.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Yeah.
Right then, yeah, let's leave.
I wouldn't want them to put loads of hard work into the architecture for nothing.
I'm going to level with you. We've got less than 15 minutes left of this episode. You're still in the middle of this dungeon. We're not going to be here next season. You've got 10 minutes to escape in some fashion.
All right.
Would it make sense?
As you... Oh?
Montage through the zoo. Yeah.
Montage through the zoo.
We need a montage.
You find in a cage Jar Jar Binks.
I want to kill it so badly.
Leave him there.
You do.
Leave him there.
Also, you find a human.
It's disgusting.
The deadliest animal on earth.
None of us are that.
Exactly. Not anymore.
Oh, God, true. That's actually true. That's
yeah, none of us are human.
He introduces himself as Malcolm. He says he's a priest.
Killy, killy, killy!
No, we don't need to kill him anymore!
Malcolm, have you got five friends?
Sorry!
The Reverend's back.
Well, no, but not with me, but I could introduce you if you return me to them.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, no worries. No worries, I don't need to kill you anymore.
You pass a duck-sized horse.
Oh, yes! Yes, I pick it up! I'll call him Joaquin Phoenix.
Did you say Joaquin Phoenix?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Great.
Quack.
Because I'm half Spanish.
I thought because he's a duck-sized.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
I should say that he is too small even for you to ride.
No, I just want him in my pocket. Please. No, Steve, this is John Gallagher speaking. Please let me. Please.
Okay, sure, you've got a duck-sized horse in your pocket. You pass a Venus flytrap, which is a brilliant pun, but a very boring suggestion.
I don't get the joke, but there we are.
Space zoo.
Because it's a Venus. Which is the name of a planet.
Oh, an alien. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Told you.
A gravity slug of warmth.
I love it.
An armpit monkey. An eight-eyed hamster. A mega shark.
Ah, I like a mega shark.
Come on, Graham, what are you doing?
A bit lively.
An octopus, but with eight goat legs instead of tentacles.
Don't look!
Oh, wow.
John, close your eyes! Don't look!
It's foul!
The monster, there's just a bed and a pair of eyes peering out from underneath it, because you presume that there's a monster underneath
yeah,
that bed.
Yeah, terrifying.
I knew it.
I love that.
I knew it.
Penguin wearing a tuxedo.
You are adorable.
We don't know if it's the skin or not.
That's the joy of it.
A non-Euclidean geometric form, not of this realm.
Oh.
Your title is a bit pretentious. Yes.
It's also one of these like commonly misunderstood things, because non-Euclidean geometry could just be geometry on like on a
holiday.
Ball. So any geometry that doesn't take place on a flat plane.
During this montage,
yes.
We've seen any exits?
No.
Or any.
But we're running
you
the
haven't.
Entire
it's
time.
It's funny. You run round and eventually you come all the way round in a circle and you find yourself back in the same room. You find
bullshit.
I dismembered body once again. The wall of stone's still there because you run very quickly.
Yeah. I could probably suggest that we go up to the shaft. And we go. Oh, Reverend gets in. This guy's got highbrow comedy over here.
Do we want to go up or do we want to go down?
I was going to say maybe we could go all the way up, and I could maybe throw a bomb at the door that wasn't opened. Or I
mean, that might be the exit.
That could be the exit.
Could be the exit.
They may have sealed us in.
The look on Steve's face.
I've got a little disc that is a key.
Do
got
you?
Yeah, I've got a black one and I've got
They're rectangles.
Yeah, I've got a black one and I've got a purple one.
Great.
Solid.
You've not seen any doors. Mm. You've seen a couple more archways into the middle, like greeny bit.
Into the green bit.
Where are you going? You're back in the room with the vines. What's your plan?
The hut. There was a hut.
There was a hut.
There was a hut right where the frog creature was.
So there's that one. There's the one archway with the wall that the frog's butting against. Yeah. And then as we were going
three
round...
More.
We
They're like every quarter of the big circle.
Oh, sweet. So we can just bypass the frog.
Let's
do that. Go out there and then...
Go into the small
hut. I want to go to the hut.
Look at the hut.
Hut. Hut.
Hut.
Hut.
Hut.
Hut.
Hut.
Hut.
Hut.
Hut. Hut. And then Joaquin Phoenix goes, hut.
John looks like he wants to, but he can't talk.
Does he wibble at all? No.
He's just like.
Can you ride John now? He.
So, you emerge back into the central area, and you can see off in the distance, about 150 feet away, the Frogemoth is bashing its head against the wall of stone.
Bashing
its head
against
the
wall.
I know how that feels with these guys.
Comedy goals.
Sneaky, go past then.
You sneak down into the hut. You cross over a bridge and into the stone hut through a strange archway. There are spiral staircases leading down, and basically it's like a little aquarium tower that goes down into the lake. You can see like some fish.
That's really great.
But you can't find a way out.
Well, so it just goes
to
a dead end.
Guys, 4 minutes. So we're
it just goes to a dead end in that place.
It goes all the way down. Well, it goes all the way down.
All the way down.
Yeah. It goes all the way down to the bottom of the lake, because there's windows around the outside of the tower as you go down the spiral staircase.
Yeah.
And as you go down to the bottom, there's a strange-looking door in the wall.
Let's go to that strange-looking door in the wall.
A
big,
thick
door.
Nah.
What, opens into the lake?
Yes.
Cool. Let's go into the door in the wall.
let's open it while we're above it. And see what happens.
How are you going to open it while you're above it?
Mage hand.
Yeah.
It's mage hand, the door in the wall.
Okay, you cycle the airlock, and because it's an airlock, no water rushes in.
So
it just opens into an airlock.
Okay,
so outside is water.
Well, the lake maybe extends to the outside of... Where are we, by the way? Are we in space?
Probably.
No, we're in a spaceship, but we don't have any
reference
to that. So we
don't
apropos of nothing.
Please.
I'm gonna do a little bit of heavy-handed DM railroading here.
Okay,
Malford, you do have a scroll of teleport.
Oh, you motherfucker! Okay.
Hey, Malford.
You mean Greece?
Can I ask a very quick question.
Again.
Very, very, very quick question.
Yes.
Does he have to be alive for that to work?
Please, we've been through so much. Please don't kill me now.
You can't hear that bit.
So I'm obliged to tell you, A, no, you could steal it from his corpse. B, you don't know he's got it.
Okay.
Mouthford.
I'm just going to check my equipment real quick, see if I've got anything.
Yeah.
While you do that, I want to express that I'm bored of this place and really just... kind of just want to go out now.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. I don't really want to go through the lake. I was toying with the idea. Yes. Gilbert's at home.
We've had a lot of fun, haven't we, guys?
I died.
What have you got?
Who hasn't?
I have. It's fun.
Malford, what have you got in your sack?
Well, I've got boots of levitation, braces of defense. Oh, hang on a second. I've got a scroll of teleport. Should we use it?
Yes.
Then I will use it.
Where does it teleport us to?
That's a very good question.
The exit.
Why?
I want to go somewhere warm.
I don't know. I really enjoyed that medical bay. I think we should go back there. That was a cool place.
Or maybe we can go find that frog.
I'll tell you now. The destination you choose must be known to you, and it must be on the same plane of existence as you. There's no range limit.
There's that pub we started in.
Well, we didn't start in a pub, did we?
You guys started.
Oh wait, so it needs to be known to you, Maverick. Yeah.
The first time I met all of you guys was when we saw this thing go to the ground, and I was above a hill, and I saw you guys entering.
But I guess you could take us in as long as it's known to you.
I'm gonna take us to my house. You guys want to see my pad?
Yeah.
You guys want to see my pad?
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you seem trustworthy now.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. So Malford incants the spell on his scroll of teleport. There's no mishap. You travel safely, don't worry.
Okay.
And you disappear with a crack of displaced air, and you reappear where Malford's house used to be. You find yourselves next to the completely flattened remains of what was once quite a nice house with attached stables where Maximus's brother and sister lived.
I'm going to be
Instead
honest.
Instead of standing in a nice clearing in the middle of a forest, Mouthford's remnants of a house now appears to stand in the middle of a large square trench, at least 100 feet across, that's been pressed 20 foot down into the ground as though by some colossal huge weight. To the right of you, stretching off into the distance towards the distant mountains, the trench continues. To the left of you, you can see it also continues, but only a short distance to where just on the horizon there appears to be what looks like a 500 foot tall stone wheel. Rolling slowly into the distance.
Hey, this must be hard for you, so I'm going to cast a silent image of what I think your old house looked like. And you can say goodbye to it.
Yes, let me say goodbye to the house and not my brother and sister.
Hey, I'm just trying to make a better world.
Malford be able to deal with the grief of two further bereavements? What on earth just happened to his house? Will he be here next season, or will he have had enough of this shit? What's Reverend Hatchet gonna do now that he's a 3-foot-tall vegetable? All these questions may be answered, maybe just more nonsense, on the next season of Tales of Adventure!
You've been listening to the Tales of Adventure podcast. The Dungeon Master was played by Steve Clements. Bagsy Badley by Alice Taylor Matthews. Reverend Hatchet by Tom Bridges. Trim Toss Cobble by Kat Murphy. And Jeffrey Banjo by Stee Brown. Follow us on Twitter at @tales_adventure.
on Facebook at Official TOA Show. And join us in the audience with tickets from improvtheatre.co.uk. See you next time for some more Tales of Adventure.
Here's some of the creatures that you could have seen if you'd gone to the zoo earlier in the episode. A monkey, but it has too many butts. We're just going to continue doing these until you leave.
A brass monkey.
Oh. Oh. Monkeys.
A hippopotamus. A hip-hopopotamus. And a rhinoceros.
Yes. Big bird.
A big jagger.
Slug.
The ravenous bug blaster beast, blug blatter beast of Tral. Nice one, you guys.
An overly affectionate purple hedgehog. Fade in that music.
Teetotal dwarf.
Millipede with no legs. That's very mean.
A regular farmer. Just the most terrifying.
Arachno tiger.
Doctor Who.
Arachno tiger.
A humbadoo!
A second person who's been clever enough to suggest a human. An inverse elephant.
A sentient toaster.
Steve, a send those down.
Bear.
An
ordinary worm.
A sentient vapor cloud. Boris Johnson's hair.
Duck beaver.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Wee.
You're flat.
Bye. I'm a vegetable.